progress. Okay, let's do a review. Luke chapter 17, 1 through 10. More mustard seed examples. So this is review. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Again, this is just review. Offenses will come. And when I looked up the interpretation of offenses here, it's not just people cutting me off in traffic or looking at me funny or lying on me or doing anything, you know, that way of offense, though I guess you could include that. But these are the offenses that come when people teach or preach or give you something that doesn't come from God and causes you to stop trusting in God and believing in God and sets you off. That's the offense. And this set of scripture is a caution, bless you, it's a caution to us that, bless you again, that I don't want to be one of those folks that offend somebody. I don't want to put my own logic or feelings and emotions into the word, all right, and then give somebody something that causes them to stumble at trusting and believing in God. I know that might seem like it's very impossible for us to do, but it's not. And I don't want to deceive anybody or hang anybody up or whatever. So just be careful with that. So there's a caution there. And so for the people who are offending, it's a caution for us not to offend. For those who are offended, it is we don't have to take matters into our own hand. God loves us so hard that he protects us. He protects us. All right. Again, just review. So then he goes and he switches to, all right, that's what happens to the offenders. Now, we need to be careful how we respond to people who offend us. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, of course, last week I tell you, that's not happening. that's just impossible. Not happening. All right? Al can offend me. I love Al. I love Al to death. Al's got maybe 2-3 times. We've been together for a while. I give him 4 times in a day. The first 2 times I just attributed to Al just being stupid, and the other time just Al being insensitive, and the 4th time is grace. But after that, Al's gonna get a knot on his head.
That's right.
Amen.
Where my bodyguard?
Sandra can only help you through the video. All right,
she can. Your own wife.
She can. Yeah, she can help you against me, but not against her. So. I just don't get it. I cannot do. And I know I can't do it because even the apostles couldn't do it because in verse 5 it says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I haven't been saved long enough to forgive Al 7 times in a day. I might forgive Al 7 times in a year, but 7 times in a day, that just ain't happening. I need more faith. I need to be quiet time. It needs to be extended from 30 minutes to an hour and a half. I need to be reading my Bible every day. I need to, every time the doors of the church are open, I need to be there too or whatever, because there's just no way on God's green earth that I'm going to be able to forgive Al 7 times in a day.
No, you ain't.
No, I'm not. Amen. There you go. I'm not going to do it. All right? I'm not going to do it.
Hey, you know, Chuck?
Yes, sir.
How many times does the Lord forgive us?
Amen.
We haven't got there yet. We haven't got there yet. All right. Haven't got there yet. Yeah. And I'm not the Lord. So there, that's my escape clause right there. I'm not the Lord. The Lord will forgive you 7 times in a day, but Chuck won't. But anyway. All right.
But the Holy Spirit can enable you.
And that's my point. Let me just jump there since you guys are jumping there anyway or whatever for the sake of time. We cannot do this. And that's the reason why this passage of Scripture becomes so difficult. That passage of Scripture is difficult for me. I preached at the prison today, and they're all nodding in agreement. Yep, ain't no way in the world. Ain't happening. They get it. Because it is impossible for us to be able to do that. But here's what the Lord said in verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted by into the sea, and it should obey you. And I'm like, Jesus is saying, you think it takes great faith and that you got to be a Christian for about 30 years or whatever in order for this to work for you. No. Just take the little bit of faith that you have and put it in something much bigger than you, which is God, and you can do the impossible.
I have never noticed those verses attached together like that.
Yes, and there's something else that's attached too. Yeah, I know. I know. Yep. I've always taken them separately and never gotten the fullness of what they meant until you put them together. So now, if I follow my steps, is Alvin offended me?
Humble yourself.
I got to humble myself. I need God. Yeah. Two,
repent.
I need to repent of wanting to put this soup on upside his gray head. Three,
I have hope.
I got to have hope. Hope in what? Hope in verse 6. Why do I say it? Because Jesus says, you can do the impossible if you have faith in me. Yeah. Through you, I can allow you to do the impossible. What you just said in verse 5 was impossible. Can't do it. Ain't happening. I'm telling you in verse 6, if you follow these steps and put your faith in this word, you can do all things. As I used to get caught up, used to go and pray to, okay, man, I'm going to pray that you be moved. I know you ain't going to move, but it's a proverb.
And I
used to take it literally too. I know I can't move that mountain, but God can do the impossible. So what he's saying, he's using it as an example of, as impossible as you think that is, nothing's impossible with me. And it goes back to what Roger indicated. The 7 is not a number that we should be shooting for, even though 7 is the number of perfection. Peter, in another example of the gospel, says, how many times do I need to forgive somebody? 7 times? Because when they get to 8, I'm going to let them have it. And, 70 times 7. And it's not that you got to do it, 470 times, whatever number that is. It's not that you have to forgive them that many times and there's a limit. It's an idiom or a proverb to let you know there is no limit. So when Roger said there's no limit in how many times that he has forgiven us, we who are like Christ and are operating with Christ inside of us through the power of his Holy Spirit, by faith in this verse 6, it's not 7 times in a day. It's all day long. And I can't do that, but by faith, I can. One of the inmates today asked a question. He said, you know what? Oh, so one of the inmates looked at this being plucked up by the root and planted by into the sea or whatever. And he says, you know, I'm looking at that root being planted or whatever. And the root, and he just tied that to like, I could look at this root or these relationships and move them around and do impossible things with these relationships as far as forgiveness is concerned. And I didn't know exactly where he was going, but he just made a connection that I never made, not even think about making, root and relationships and things like that. And I'm like, you know what? And then we got on this little sidebar, and I started saying, you know, that's very good, because it's easier for us to forgive our enemies because we kind of sort of know that they're kind of crazy in the first place. We can kind of see that happening. We can kind of make excuses for that. Well, you know, that's just how they are.
But if we're more rooted in Christ than we are in the world, and we've already studied about plants and the scripture and then life, which is Jesus and that's all there, then that root makes a lot of sense.
It does. And he took it from a different perspective. That's one perspective. It's a good perspective. It's a true perspective. But he took it from this perspective. He looked at it from the standpoint of, I got relationships. I got some weird relationships. You know, my brother dating my ex-wife. Kind of weird stuff. And I'm like, man, I can't go there with you, but I. And he goes, I could easily hold aught against them because it's in that root of that relationship. But I can do the impossible through Christ in that relationship and allow forgiveness to occur. And I'm like, wow. It was not, I remember what David said. It was not my enemy that reproached me. For them, I could have avoided. But it was you, my brother. And some of the biggest and greatest hurt and disappointment that we have faced in our life has not always come from our enemy, but has come from our loved ones or our brothers and sisters in church or whatever. And you know, some of you guys have experienced loved ones that will break your heart, that will let you down, and you expect them to respond a certain way, and they don't respond the way that you want them to respond, and it breaks your heart. And yet, we can do the impossible through him working through us. So, just powerful. But and as I see this and I go through the steps, now I'm at step three. I'm using the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to forgive Al because it brings God glory. And I gave this example at the prison this morning as I was teaching this. And I said, what gives God more glory? Me standing before you men in here and telling you, I just want to praise God because Al offended me 7 times. And when time number 8 came, I thank God through the power of these 5 knuckles that I was able to lay hands on him and raise and resurrect knots on him and just beat him up and down the aisle. And I thank God for the power to be able to just whip Al and just get my revenge on him. And I thank God because 8 was his time was up. Or does this get God more glory? I know it's been 7 times. I know it's the 8th time now. But you know what? I'm still trusting in this word. I'm not going to let Al's offenses keep me from what God has me to do. And I'm going to show mercy because he showed me mercy. And I'm going to be able to love him or whatever because that's what's going to bring God glory. And I'm not going to let Al's offense keep me from what God has for me. Praise God. Which one testimony gives God glory? Which one is the one that we need to hear? The second one or the latter one?
What is step 7?
Peace.
Dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I'm going to have to. Excuse me, everybody in Zoom land. The boy has offended me and has caused me to go back to step number 1 before I can go any further.
Okay, so let's talk about the root. What's the root of you being offended, and what's the root of you offending?
But I don't know. I mean, I'm just blown away. I've never, that the mountain that you're speaking to.
Yeah.
Is like, I just didn't ever think about it being like unforgiveness or offense.
Yeah. Oh, because you never put the two together.
Right. Yes. Right.
Oh.
Right.
Well, check this out. It gets better.
I see.
Here's new stuff. Now, riddle me this, Batman. I'm going to read another parable. So David gets 2 parables for the price of 1 here. And if you guys get this quickly, then we'll be through. We'll do the impossible.
Not rushing.
All right. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, verse 7, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go, sit down to meat. Take it easy. Take a load off. You're done for the day. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken. And afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. When I figured this out for the first time.
You gave us a question last week.
Yes. Well, hold on. When I figured this out just about 2 weeks ago, it solidified my ability to forgive limitlessly. Because it put it in a different perspective. And what I did not see, Susan, was not only did he tie those first two things together, he just tied three. Yes!
And
so what was the homework that I gave you guys?
How does the mustard seed connect to Luke 17:7-10?
Yeah. How does the parable of the mustard seed, which ties to forgiveness and offenses, link to this? Right. Or let's put it to another way. Why does Christ use this to solidify the earlier part on forgiveness and offenses? And when I figured that out, thank you, Holy Ghost, I'm like, woo, I'm undone. I got this.
My version says, we are unworthy slaves.
Yes.
In verse 10.
Mine said unworthy servants.
Mine said unprofitable servants.
Yes.
And I want to be profitable for the kingdom. Now, let's take this parable and break it down into today's concept, something that we can better explain. Let's talk about it from the standpoint of the one who's being served, the master. Some of you had kids. If you tell your son or daughter, clean your room, do your homework, wash the dishes. And that's what they're supposed to do. That's their reasonable service. After they wash the dishes and they still got homework and a room to clean, do you jump up and tell them routinely, oh, thank you so much, dear, for washing the dishes?
No. You thought it was their duty.
Man, y'all jumped on that quick.
No,
ain't no way in the world I'm going to thank my kids for doing what they were supposed to be doing, and they still got more stuff to do. Got it? Mm-hmm. Here's one. I tell my son to cut my grass and edge and trim. All he does is edge and trim, but don't cut the grass. I ain't running outside the house saying, hey, my boy, good job on the trimming and the edging. Don't worry about cutting the grass right now. Come on in here. Watch the game with me. I got to take my glasses off for this one. I'm Sunday in church. I can't cuss. Ain't no way in the world that's happening. I'm the daddy. I don't owe you no thanks. I changed your diaper. I brought you in the world. No. I'm not thanking you for your reasonable service. My wife did that to me one time. I already told you. You heard the story before. You know the rule is in the house, whoever the last one to get out of the bed is the one who makes the bed. So I made sure. Who makes the bed every day?
I said, if that's the rule at our house, who's making the bed?
I'm not trying to get anybody to do anything different in that household.
Start trouble.
I didn't mean to start any trouble. I'm just saying what the rule is in our house. And the rule in our house is, you know, the last one out of the bed makes the bed. So I heard her rolling around one day, and I'm like, oh, boo-boo. My feet hit the floor first, and I was up out of bed in the bathroom. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I ain't got to make this bed up today. So I come out the bathroom, and she's going about her day, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to do something nice for old girl. I'm going to go on and make this bed up. Because I ain't supposed to, but I'm going to do it. And I made the bed.
Why ain't you supposed to?
Because I got a friend, according to the rule. Right?
It don't matter what time you get up, you got to make it every day.
And Jimmy, if that's your deal, you just keep your deal at your house. So I went, and she was saying something, fussing about something or whatever, and I'm like, hey, look here. I made the bed for you today. That wasn't my job. And she looked at me. And did the black woman thing. There you go. It looked just like that. Yeah. Hand on the hip. And go and do it. Hand on the hip and the head rolling like a bobblehead doll in the back of a car, right? Going back and forth. and started saying, look here. I cook for you. You don't know how to cook. I clean for you. I wash your drawers. I clean this house. I dust this house. I wash these dishes. At the time, she's washing dishes. I'm like, and you gonna stick your chest out about making the bed? And she said, that is your reasonable service. That's the least that you can do for all the stuff that I do around here.
You said you're right there. You went on that
today. So I kept my mouth shut. So basically, this is, as I see it, this is the, so Christ ties in this servant thing to the parable. Now that's the perspective from the master. Now, and this is fresh because I got this morning. Look at it from the perspective of the servant. Man, I've been this kind of servant. Man, I got all these things to do. And I done did this, and I've been working out here in this field for a good little bit. And ain't nobody else working in this field like I've been working in this field. And it's time to come in now. Now, I know I got some things I got to do inside. But you know what? I'm busting this out, but you know what? I've done more than what I think is required. I'm patting myself on the back. I'm going to take me a break. That's the attitude of a servant. Have you ever had that attitude?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm watching March Madness. I'm watching the basketball games. I see some of my teams that I like play good first halves, celebrating at the end of a play. I'm like, man, that's good. And you think this thing is over with. But you know there's another half to play. And what happens if they don't fulfill the task and they celebrate and take it easy too soon? Come on, Leon Lett. That didn't get the touchdown because you celebrated too soon.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, you got to look at the servant's got to look at the benefits he's receiving.
So I think it goes back, Roger, I think you're spot on. If I'm that servant that says I need my reward right now, I've done this is good enough for government work, I think I miss out on the fact that I'm still under the covering of the master. I think I'm missing out on the benefits of all that he has done for me. And I have this attitude that I almost become as a Christian and a servant. I still got a little bit of the prodigal in me. Uh-oh.
Yeah, prodigal son. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And it's easy when the prodigal is eating pig's food and totally outside the will of God. But it's different when you got some prodigal in you. Oh, my goodness. And you're in the house with the master, serving the master, and you say, I'm doing more than anybody else. That's good enough. And I like that movie, Hacksaw Ridge or whatever it is or whatever, where Desmond Doss says, Lord, just one more. I was at the youth detention facility yesterday, and Last time I was there, time before I was there, 15 guys were there, 10 of them got saved. Went out there yesterday, and 12 of them got saved. And I said, man, that's a good day. That's a good year. I'm done. What other ministry is out there and producing these kind of results? I'm a bad man. But God just did something. I just did something great in the field. I just did some work in the field. I just did something great in the field for the Lord. Through the power of God. And now I'm like, I got to get a big time out here. I'm doing more than what I did Saturday.
Thank you, Lord.
I've already forgiven 7 times.
Boom! There you go, Susan. You got it.
God gives things great.
So I'm wondering, I'm asking that question, why does Christ pull this parable into the other parable and then got this triple bundle here all together, and he's using this because I think what Christ is saying is, I know what you guys are thinking. You guys are thinking, well, if I forgive 7 times in a day, I'm going to pat myself on the back and say, I'm good. He said, no, you got to have a servant's heart.
I tell you what.
You got to have a servant's heart about this. You got to change your attitude about serving God. I'm like, whoa! So basically what he's saying here is, no, you don't need more faith. You just need to put faith in the power of God working through you. And when he starts working through you and you have that success, you got to make sure that you have a servant's heart and an attitude that says, this is my reasonable service. Every time I get offended, every time somebody lets me down, every time I'm disappointed, I cannot come from the field and say, God, that's it. It's time for me to take a break from this. No. I got to say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I can never serve you like you have served me. I can never repay the debt that I owe for all that you have done for me. So I got to keep forgiving out. And it becomes easier. It becomes not burdensome. I can do what was once impossible. Because it's my reason. It's the least I can do for all that he's done for me. And I think you're right, Roger. I think sometimes we forget all that he has done for us, and we say there's a limit on how good I'm going to treat you behind all of this. And now I realize because there's no limit in what he has done for us and what he's still going to do for us. If I'm his disciple, if I'm his servant, I'm not worthy. I always have to keep, and somebody said today, I always got to keep an attitude of humility. I always need him. I'm always appreciative of him. And so because of my relationship with Christ, you get grace. You get mercy. You get my love. That don't mean I'm going to hang out with you all the time. And one of the inmates asked that question, well, I forgive, but every time I forgive and I have a relationship, you know, they try to take advantage of me. Anybody said you got supposed to spit with them? That's just going to have to be a long-distance relationship because I don't want to be able to have something keep me from what God has for me.
You can't let that become a stumbling block for you.
Oh.
Because what happens when you stumble? You slow down. You don't fall down, but you slow down. And a lot of times your straight path is altered.
I think the term that comes to my mind thinking about all of this in real life situations is, well, I've done this, and this, so
yep.
I deserve
yep.
to be able to do that.
Yep.
And that is the world's viewpoint. Which it goes back to the prodigal. He was he thought he was entitled to take his daddy's stuff and go do what he wanted to do.
Yep.
All over this world.
Entitlement.
Everywhere.
Isn't that similar to the parable of the wages?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
That God, that you mean that Jesus is the master.
Yes.
So he has the right to pay whoever, however long.
Mm-hmm. So here's my notes. I'm out of time, but here's some of my notes. So let's think why Jesus felt the need to address this. I never saw this before. We need to have the right attitude of service. And it needs to be an ongoing, continuous thing, just like the steps. And whenever I get to that point where I stop forgiving, I got to start over again so I can keep it going. It is just a continuous cycle of picking up the cross and trusting in Him. Picking up the cross, trusting in Him. Somebody offended me. Something new just hit my life. Picking up the cross and following Him. I cannot make the assumption that when the new thing hits my plate, that I'm already at that level. Pick up the cross. Follow again. Because He picked up His cross for me. I have not always had the right attitude of service. Even as a mature Christian. Because there was a limit on what, because I'm going to say it a different way, and Roger's on it. My success can be a stumbling block that offends. It doesn't always have to be another person. It could be my selfish pride and my success that the enemy uses to keep me from trusting and being the servant that he had me to do. It's self-righteousness. I'm a good servant. And God says, as soon as you think you're a good servant, you might be in trouble.
Now that's for him to say, not us.
It is. Because I'm waiting for him to say it at the right time.
Well done.
Yes. And he will allow other people in my life to give me the affirmation that I need, or his spirit will give me that affirmation to allow me to keep going. And here's
the
neat
thing. You've got to point back to him when that's given to you.
And here's the neat thing about it. In the parable, you don't get the reward until the end.
Yeah.
And we do get a great reward at the end of all this if we just keep being profitable servants. But God is so graceful. Won't he break you off a little something along the way?
Yeah, but he does.
He does.
He does all the time.
I know. And we miss it. But he does. All right. If I forgive someone two times in a day, I might expect that this is good enough and that I'm deserving. This is what Susan said. And that I'm deserving of some special recognition because I've done what I was asked to do. All right. Well, you didn't do what you were asked to do. You only did what you were asked to do that one time. He wants you to keep on doing what he asked you to do. I will get a reward, but I don't want my pride to slip in or act like God owes me something special because of the work I'm doing. Can never repay him for what he's done for me. He gave me my life back, gave me my dreams back, gave me my health back, gave me my finances back, gave me my wife back, gave me my kids back, gave my job back, gave me my hope back, gave me my dreams back, gave me my peace back.
I said, I can so relate this to when I worked for the state. You know, you get an annual review with the state.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to could exceed standards if you went above and beyond.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
And then came along the powers that be decided, well, if you're doing what is described on your description of your job, then nobody can exceed standards. So they went back to the system.
Because it became inflated.
Yes, very much.
Everybody was walking on water, nailing Jell-O to the wall.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Nobody ever could exceed standards.
And then that made me mad because, you know, it's like, oh, okay, now everybody's exceeding standards or whatever, but you ain't doing what I'm doing. So how did you get my rating if you ain't doing what I'm doing? That goes back to the parable of the workers. Yeah. I've been in this field for a long time. I'm earning the same thing that you're earning. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to have to go to the boss man and tell them, hey, I need a little extra because you just gave them exactly what I'm getting or whatever. And no. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be knowing what other people's getting in the first place.
True, but it happens in this state big time.
It happens everywhere.
Well, in the spirit of transparency. All right. I love you. I'm 5 minutes over. I got to go. Any other questions? Does this bless anybody? I know it blessed me.
Thank you. I got to study on this some more.
All right.